You know what? We have a few testimonies here this morning. We don't usually do this, but can you give me sound here? All right. We'll have Sherry up here. Sherry Rowe, come on up. And while you're passing Mama there, please bring her with you. Sherry, bring Mama with you. Yeah, come on up here. Come on up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sherry, come up here. You started off. Tell us what happened. Bible school night, right?
On the way to Bible school.
Keep it real close to your lips.
On the way to Bible school the other night, I managed to get a couple of my toes run over by a car. And I'll tell you what, that's a good place to be, surrounded by people that go to Bible college. Matt Carter grabbed my foot and squeezed so hard. I had to say, whoa.
I just need to ask you this question. The person that rode over you,
yeah,
did they come to pick you up for Bible school?
Yeah. Well, actually, I went, yeah, we carpool. So I just didn't get into the back seat fast enough. And anyway, the name of the praise report is that we claimed healing right away. We declared that there wouldn't be any broken bones or damage. And I'm here.
Now, were you wearing those shoes? Because whatever you were wearing at Bible school was
I had to take them
like
off. They were high. I had to take them off at Bible school. But
I saw your toe at Bible school.
Yeah.
Who else saw her toe? It was flat. It was like twice the size of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought evolution
was taking place.
But it was so cool because I come in and you know, we get here early for Bible school because we love it so much. And so there were a good group of people. Kevin Sparks was right there to pray for me. A lot of people were praying. We just declared healing. We know and we believe that we're the healed of the Lord. So
and
he's faithful.
You're pain-free.
Pain-free. Pain-free, swelling,
wow.
No swelling, no broken bones, nothing.
So you know what to do when you get that runover feeling, huh? All right. Tell us who you are, Ma.
Thank God. I was here last year in April.
Well, who are you, first of all? Tell us.
My name is Pearl Jones. I'm the mother of Sister Sandra.
Sandy, will you stand up there real quick, Sandra? So it's her mom, Pearl, okay?
And when I came here, I was on a walker.
Do you remember Super Sunday, Pentecost Day, Dale Brooks was here, and the children and everything was going on? Okay.
And they had drawn fluid out of my knee twice, and they told me I had arthritis real bad, and they gave me a shot, 6 shots that would last from 3 to 6 months. I came here, and it was a group of young girls. Is those group here please stand? Because I want to see your face.
Jessica, stand up.
And I came to the center and said, I'm taking to you a healing service. And I came, and those young girls laid their hands on me. Yeah. I put that walker down, and I haven't used it since. Every time that pain starts, God heal you. Move, step back, devil. Praise the Lord. I know God got the power of doing anything but failure. Thank you all so
amen,
much.
Amen, 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 amen. Mike? And one of those fine young ladies this morning gave the word.
Yes.
Who was the one that gave the word this morning?
McKenna.
McKenna, amen. And so, folks, I'm telling you, your young people are going to be filled with God,
amen.
Praying for the sick. I'm telling you, they're the ones going to be raising the dead because they have violent faith. They are not limited in their faith. They have aggressive faith. They believe God no matter what. Amen? And so encourage you young people. Bring them to church. Bring them to children's church. Bring them into the next gen. Get them fired up. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And bring them to communion and let them kneel when they're so young they can hardly talk. Kelly Kelly brought tears to my eyes. Who is that that you brought this morning? Who was it? Was your son? Ah, what's his name?
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Wow. Wow. How old is he?
4 and a half.
4 and a half. Kneeling down, you're having communion. It's a man of God coming up in a family of God, I'm telling you. You're doing the right thing, church.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's all stand our feet and give the Lord a praise and rejoice that He's good. His mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, you may be seated in heavenly places. Well, I've got a message just for you this morning. So if you think I'm preaching at you, I am. How many of you would like to not only be able to receive healing from the Lord, but also to minister it out to others? So that's what we're going to do in the next 35 minutes, if I can. I'm going to give you some scripture to help you, give you the understanding of the will of God concerning healing. Not only for you personally. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're having any type of physical difficulties or ailments, take this as a word of God to you. And then I want you also to take this as instruction so you could help somebody else. Are you with me? All right. So, is it the will of God to heal the sick? This is a question that gets asked how many times. I know you're all going to shout out yes. So, but I'm going to treat you as infidels. No, they would be unbelievers. No, I'm just kidding with you. In order to argue this point, I know that you're already on the same page as me. But there are people who are not certain yet, and they haven't got this settled in their heart, whether it is in fact God's will to heal or to heal every time. Maybe it's His will to heal sometimes, but not all the times. And then there's a reason that He may not want to heal you. He might want to heal somebody else, but maybe He doesn't want to heal you. Okay? So let's deal with that. And here's the first thing we have to clarify in order to get this done. We've got to deal with this. Is sickness from God, from the devil, or simply a random happening? We've got to answer that question. See? Because we have good people, good, strong Christians, who get sick. So the question is, well, why would good, strong, faith-believing Christians get sick? Why would God allow that? Is it God that did it? Is it the devil? How come the devil got through the faith of these strong people? Or is it a random happening that you never know what's going to happen in this life and sickness can just hit you without any warning? So let's go to John 10 and verse 10 and let's find out from Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Creator of all things, God incarnate in the flesh, and let's get some doctrine from Jesus. You with me? Our Savior, the author of this word. The word is about Jesus. He is the living word. If He doesn't know, trust me, nobody knows. But if He does know, then we ought to just take it as final because He said so. And He said in John 10:10, the thief comes only in order that he may steal and he may kill and he may destroy. And when He was referring to this thief, He was actually talking about the devil. Satan. That's who He's talking about. And He said the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then He said, by contrast, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So God wants to have, He wants us as His children to enjoy the life that He has to the full till it overflows. Now, in any part of your life where that's not occurring, you must know that you're living beneath the will of God. You're not living on the level that God wants you to have. And it's not God's fault. It is not that He's trying to teach you something or trying to reason with you or trying to beat you up or trying to bring you through a place of purity or whatever. It is not because of that. Purely, simply, it's either because you don't have the knowledge of the will of God, and therefore you're not resisting this thing that's come upon you. You're not resisting it strong enough. Because somewhere there's a doubt. There's a doubt that maybe this is God. And I promise you, if If you're in a situation where you're doubting, is this God or is this not God, there is no way that you can be strong in your faith against it. Because you, obviously, there's not a person in this room who doesn't want to do the will of God or doesn't want the will of God for their life. Not one. You wouldn't be here this morning. So you want the will of God for your life. Therefore, when something happens to you, the way that we like to view this thing that happens is, well, maybe God allowed it. Maybe God wants it. Maybe this is his plan for me. Okay? Because in our humility, we want the will of God no matter what it is. Do you understand? It's a pure heart that says that. It's not a rebellious heart. It's a pure heart that says, I want the will of God no matter what it is. The only problem is you don't know what it is. And that's the door that the enemy can come in, because you don't know. Is it possible to know the will of God? Well, you should, before this service is over, you should know the will of God concerning healing at least. So Jesus said, the thief comes in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, you've read the scripture. Did Jesus run around the earth just doing his own thing? Did he? Or did he say, I only do what my Father tells me. I only do what I see him do, and I only do what he says. Did he say that? Yes. So he was 100% committed to the will of the Father. Yes. No matter what. Yeah. Okay? The only time we find Jesus struggling with the will of the Father was the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying and it looked like drops of blood were coming down from him, and he was saying, oh, Father, if there be another way, can we do that? Nevertheless, not my will, your will. Because he was saying at that point, his humanity was speaking up and saying, now, I do not want to be separated from you. I do not want to take the sin of the world. I don't want to go through the suffering. God, you know all things. And you know if there's a way for you to do this without me having to go through this that I know is ahead of me, would you do it another way? Nevertheless, not what I want, what you want. It's the only place in the Bible where anybody ever prayed, if it be thy will. And it was Jesus facing the cross. So please don't put yourself in that position and ever pray, if it be thy will. Because that is not a scriptural prayer. That is a prayer when you're facing a commitment to ministry, life and death. If it be thy will, should I go to South Africa or not? Should I leave everything I've got and go to Africa? Should I leave everything I've got and go to Haiti? Lord, I really don't want to go to Haiti, but not my will, yours be done. Do you understand? Okay, so that's the only time, it's concerning the future, that you don't know. And that's what Jesus prayed, and we know what happened. So he only did what the Father told him. He only did what he saw the Father doing. Correct? So in his 33 years on earth, think about this. How many people did he make sick? Are you telling me in 33 years, God never came up with one person he wanted to make sick for any reason? No will, no purpose, nothing. Not one person out of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands that followed Jesus or was in the crowd or whatever. Not at one time when somebody stepped forward, Jesus said, yeah, you know, I would like to, but Father said, no, not for you. Suffer, baby, suffer. That's the plan he's got for you. That's his plan. I know it's a hidden mystery. Just trust me. Go through it. Not one time. Not one time did he make anybody sick. Not one time did he inflict any pain. Are we out there? We're going home early. Okay? Even the man he spat and made mud and stuck it in his eye. Okay, which wouldn't go down here if I tried that. However, the guy who got mud in his eye certainly gained ground. But the point is, no. Talk about sticking your finger in somebody's eye. If you were blind and he did that to you, would you complain? No, just bring on the mud. Do it. If you're going to give my sight back, stick all the mud you want in it. Because they weren't working before. Wouldn't make any difference, right? Now they are. So he never made anybody sick. Never left anybody and said, it's the will of God for you to stay this way. He never injured anybody. Okay? Did Jesus give any instruction to anybody around him in his time on earth? All the teaching he gave. He said, okay, now the Beatitudes are this. This is how you get sick. Follow these simple instructions and you shall be sick. Did he ever do that? Did any of the apostles ever do that? Did any of the disciples ever do it? Can you find it anywhere in the New Testament? How to get sick? Seriously, I'm asking you a question. Can you find it? Well, that should say something. If he didn't tell us how to get there, then he doesn't want us there. Right? No instructions. But there are at least 7 different methods in the New Testament alone on how to get healed. 7 on how to get, even if you're a sinner, and even if you're a Christian that sinned, it is not withheld even from Christian sinners. They're such an animal. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? Okay? Even if you're a Christian, fall off the wagon and you get sick. The devil would say to you, well, you're cooked now, man. There's no way you're going to get healed because just look at you. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. And yet God in his mercy and his grace has made a way for you to be healed even in that condition. You've got to understand something. There is no reason and there's no excuse. No excuse. Okay? Let me show you that. James chapter 5, verse 14. James was the most legalistic of all the apostles. James was Jesus' half-brother because Jesus only had half-brothers. He didn't have any full brothers. Are you with me? The most legalistic and the head of the church in Jerusalem. And he writes this in verse 14 of chapter 5. Is any one of you sick? Well, by asking that question, it implies that some are and that some do get sick. So it is not a sin to get sick. And it's not an impossibility that you will never get sick or that something like that would never happen to you. So we don't live in a bubble that says, I'm totally immune. I will never get sick. I will never have any difficulties. I'm never going to. Because James writes to the church and he said, is there anybody sick? Now he's going to tell you what to do. If there's anybody sick, he, the sick person, should call for the elders of the church. That's the way it starts. The sick person calls for the elders to come and pray. It shouldn't be the pastor trying to find out why they're not at church. Hey, are you sick? Why aren't you at church? No, I'm up at Vegas. And yes, I am sick. For another reason. We shouldn't have to follow up on the sick. The sick ought to be calling. And you know the thing is with a Christian, our heart is so willing to help somebody who's suffering, that we will call on their behalf. So-and-so sick, you've got to come and help them. They're sick, you've got to come and help them, right? That's what we do. And of course, if the person is unable to call, then that's acceptable. But the first indication that you have faith for healing is that you call. That's the first indication. So he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now watch this. Pray over him. Anoint with oil the name of the Lord. 3 things. And now it's not done yet. And he says, and the prayer offered in faith. What kind of prayer? Faith. Only the prayer offered in faith. No other prayer. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. So the elder has got to pray, but he must know how to pray the prayer of faith. If he's going to pray a simple prayer that is just a kind of all over the world commitment prayer, it doesn't get the job done. We've got to follow exact instructions. It has to be a prayer of faith. We can anoint with oil, or we don't have to anoint with oil, but anointing with oil helps the person who is in trouble. Anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person what? They'll get well. Scripture. The Word of God. the Lord will raise him up. Now watch this from the pen of the most legalistic of all the apostles. If he has sinned, he will stay sick longer. If he has sinned until he repents, he shall not be healed. If he has sinned, God is punishing him. Therefore, he is sick. You don't see that in the scripture. It says, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Everybody say this with me. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. You got it? If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now understand this. Not every sickness is connected to sin. Not every sickness is tied to some sin in your life. But if you did go out and commit some type of sexual act with a prostitute and pick up a sexually transmitted disease, then you could tie the sickness to the sin by a very short rope. And I'll leave that to your imagination. Then there's a connection. Hello. See how easy that one is? There is another one too. If you walk around with unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, you open the door for your whole system to go down and for Satan to come through that door and to cause all kinds of problem. I love what Cindy says about unforgiveness towards people, bitterness. She says, you're drinking the poison and you hope the other person's going to die. And you're actually poisoning yourself and you wonder why you're sick. That's what it is, okay? So it's possible that there are connections between sickness and sin. But not everyone. The only connection we do have is that Satan is behind all of it because he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And if that sickness or if what you're going through is in any way hurting, stealing life from you, or causing you to suffer, then you got to know it's come from Satan. That he is the one behind it. So Satan is the one behind it. It's not God that's behind it. Even if you have sinned, please understand something. Sickness is not God's reproofing rod. Amen. Let's get this thing straight out and let's get it settled once and for all. God does not reproof, instruct, or train his children by breaking their legs or poking out one of their eyes, or making them deaf, or giving them arthritis, or giving them cancer. He doesn't do that. Because you know what? You wouldn't do that to your children. And how dare you put your love above God's love? Do you honestly think you love with agape love like God loves, and yet you won't do that to your children, but you blame my Heavenly Father for doing that? Then you don't know him. Because that's not him. He would never do that. In fact, he laid all of those diseases on Jesus so that we, in fact, could be healed, even if we have sinned. And let's look at some of the Old Testament scriptures that support this. The book of Isaiah 53, verse 4, one of the great prophetic books, says, surely he, prophetically talking about Jesus, has borne our griefs. Now, just to help you with that, because the King James Bible doesn't really clarify it. The word griefs in the Hebrew is that word choliah, C-H-O-L-I, and it's translated in other places sickness, weakness, or pain. That's how that word is translated. So for it to be translated griefs is not the most accurate translation of that Hebrew word. So it is better read, surely he has borne our sickness, he's borne our weakness, he's borne our pain. Okay? And he carried our sorrows. And that word sorrows, again, is the Hebrew word makab. And makab simply means pain. In all other places, it's translated as pain. And that means we should read it like this. Surely he, Jesus, has borne our sicknesses and carried our pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, let's read on to the next verse. And he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities or sins, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. It's a done deal. Jesus has already died. It's over. He's not going to get off the cross. He went to the cross. He went all the way. Got it? It's done. You can't undo his suffering. You can't undo it. You can't reverse it. It happened. He paid the price. It was God's idea. This is how he's going to pay the price for us to be healed. If you love Psalm 103 like most Christians do, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." How many diseases?
All
of them. So you don't have a unique disease that's not covered by that. No matter what you get, it's covered. It says all your diseases. And if you like Psalm 91, it's the protective psalm. You can protect it from everything if you use Psalm 91. Verses 5, 7, 10, and 16 says, "And you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Now, verse 16, please, please, please read it. It's there in the Word. Verse 16 says, with what?
Long
with what?
Long
with what?
Long
with long life, I will satisfy him. It's God's plan that you live a long life.
Amen.
You get it? With long life. God thinks a long life is something to be desired and something that he wants you to have. If someone dies at the age of 7 or 17 or 27 or 33 or 45, were those long lives? Were those long lives?
Yeah.
No. So it wasn't according to that. So something happened that snapped them out early. Okay? So please understand something. God wants you to live a long life until your strength fails you. As long as you live and you worship him and you have a family and grandchildren and so on, this is God's plan. This is what he wants from you.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't always work out that way. It doesn't. We lose friends and loved ones that die early. But I'm telling you now that it's not God's plan. That's God's plan. It's in the Word. That's God's plan. Okay? You see, you can't put that in the Word and then say, it's actually my plan for you to die at 17 in a car wreck. Because I only plan for you to live 17 years and 1 month. You can't say, it was God's plan for you to be snapped out of this world at the age of 32 or 15. It doesn't matter what age you choose. Unless it's a long life and you're satisfied, then you went home early. Okay? People, you have to understand something, because if you're sick with a terminal illness right now, the devil might be telling you your time is up. You might be saying, you've run your race. This is it. You're ready to go home. Now, listen, folks, as Christians, we ought to be ready to go home at any time. I'm looking forward to it. How many of you are looking forward to it? I'm absolutely looking forward to it. But I know I've got a job to do here. Until my job is done, I don't want to go. So I've got something that I want to do, but I'm so looking forward to heaven, I'd go in a snap of a finger, I'd be gone. No more rent, no more taxes. Are you kidding me? I'm out of here. But I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave the work that I'm doing for the Lord. I've got stuff to do, right? Like you all got stuff to do. So the point is, the longer I live healthy and strong, the more satisfied I'll be. As long as I'm living healthy and strong. I honestly don't want to live a long life as a sickly person on dialysis or suffering and having to go to hospital and living with tubes in me and stuff like that. And then I'd be praying something different. Okay, that doesn't work with me. I'm not happy in that situation. I would rather be with the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Don't let the devil talk you out of a long life.
Amen.
You understand me? Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Reject that thought. Okay, so let's go to the New Testament. In Matthew 8:17. "And thus," talking about Jesus, "he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah," we just read it, "that he himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases." So Matthew 8:17 talks about Jesus. and says, look, this is what Jesus did. He fulfilled what was written in Isaiah chapter 53. We just read it. So he said, Matthew says, telling you he confirmed that. And then 1 Peter 2:24, it said he personally, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. By his wounds you have been healed. Now, in the book of Isaiah, I'll go back and read it. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And in Matthew and in Peter, he said, he personally bore our sins in his body on the tree, and by his wounds you have been healed. Now, I'm not an English student or scholar, but I do remember from my days back at school, there were three major tenses. I know there's a bunch of others. Today we have hypertension and all kinds of tenses, but what is that one there? By his wounds you have been healed. Anybody help me? Say past. So that'll help you get it, you see, because you're still saying past. That's why you're not getting it. Okay, it's past. I often wonder if I was sent from Africa to be be quiet. By his wounds, you have been. So it is, do this for me, please. Just do this. A Christian handshake. Dust it off. What does that mean? It's a done deal. It's a done deal. He's been to the cross. It's a done deal. By his stripes, you have been healed. We're living post-cross, post-sacrifice. In this realm where we are living as the healed. When we get sick, we actually lose our healing. We don't get sick. Let me say that again. When we get sick, we actually lose our healing. We actually don't get sick. By his stripes, you are healed, and if you are healed, you will be, you are, period, done. So if something comes on you, Satan has come to kill and to steal your health. He stole your health because you're supposed to be well. That's who we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be the sick trying to get healed. We're supposed to be the healed trying to stay healed. We're supposed to be the healed staying whole. And fighting off the devil, say, I will not give up my health to you. I will not give up my sight to you. I will not give up my whatever else. I will not give it up. You're a liar and you have no right to it, and I won't give it up. I'm going to stay healed. I'm staying whole in Jesus' name. Yes. You understand?
Yes.
So you fight off sickness like you would fight off sin.
Yes.
Don't just come along and tell me, oh, well, Pastor, I couldn't help myself. I got in my car and I drove all the way down there and I went in there and I did this and did that and I drove all the way back. And all the way there and back, I prayed, God, if you don't want me to do it, stop me. Obviously, it was his will for me to do it. Really? No. You resist the devil. You resist sin, don't you? You should. Well, I need you to treat sickness like you treat the devil. Treat sickness like you would treat sin. Okay? By his stripes, you have been healed. And then 3 John chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter. Verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well. So what was the prayer that John, the apostle, prayed? Okay, as in the opening letter, John the apostle. This is the beloved apostle, the only one who was called the beloved apostle. It says they're beloved in John's writing. The beloved apostle, their beloved disciple, because he wrote it. It's the only place it appears. So the beloved apostle who didn't know Jesus, who didn't know what Jesus' will was, said, I pray that you prosper and be in health. Are you kidding with me? Of course he knew what the will was. You know, he lived longest out of all the apostles. Do you know that? They even tried to boil him in oil and couldn't kill him. The oil didn't work. Talk about a callback. Just didn't work. Oil didn't work. Couldn't heat him up. He threw nothing. Nothing's cooking with him. So they banished him to the Isle of Patmos, trying to get rid of him. And he has the book of Revelations comes out. What could you do with a guy like that? Okay, I mean, nothing you could do with him. And he knew Jesus so intimately, and he's the one who said, listen, kids, listen, I'm praying that you prosper, you walk in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. So he knew what the will of God was. If anybody did, he did. And that's what he said. I believe him. Now, Jesus told us as New Testament believers to do the same thing. He said in Mark 16 and 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. These signs will accompany them who believe in my name. It's not just those who believe. It's those who believe in his name. See, we have a lot of Christians today, a lot of Christians who are self-proclaiming Christians. But if you had to put their feet to the fire, would not say what needs to be said about Jesus, given the circumstances, given a situation, they may back off because they may feel it's politically incorrect. They may feel that they're embarrassed to say so. Whatever, they won't stand up for him. Or they will simply not say, well, Jesus wants to heal you. That's simple. Because this works for those who believe in my name. This doesn't work for every believer. This works for those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. The new tongues there is not different languages. It's talking in tongues. Okay? They will pick up snakes. You don't have to go looking for them. Don't do that. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And you know, the Apostle Paul, when looking for wood to put in the fire, a snake bit him on the hand and shook it off into the fire. And they thought he was going to die, and he didn't die. And when he didn't die, they said, okay, you must be from God. Talk to us. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying go start a new religion. Well, there's actually got churches like that already right now. Yeah, put your hand in there, and if you've got faith, the snake won't bite you. I've got faith for lots of things, but I don't know that I haven't got faith enough to put my hand in a snake pit. Okay, because I think that's foolishness, not faith. Now, these people, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. This is Jesus speaking. These that believe in my name will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So what happens? The apostles go out. And they do exactly what Jesus told them. Acts chapter 3, we see it happening. The whole chapter 3 covers the story of Peter and John on their way up to the temple, and they lay down in front of the gate. The gate was called Beautiful. A paralyzed man, been begging there his whole life. And when he comes past, they're on the way to prayer, this man reaches out and says, give me some money, please. So Peter looks at them and he says to Peter and John, he says, look at us. Look at us. He said, look, we don't have any silver and gold on us, but what I have got, I'm going to give you. What I have got, I'm going to give you. What did he have? What did they have that they said we could give? You can't give me something you don't have. Exactly. I'm going to say that again. You cannot give me something you don't have. If you don't have faith in the name of Jesus, you can't give me faith in the name of Jesus. If you don't believe that Jesus heals the sick, you can't pass that on to me because you don't have it. Amen. You can only give me what you have. Amen. Are you listening? Yes. Promise you people, this is the dividing line. This is it right here. What you believe you have, you can give. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. If you don't have it, you can't give it. They believed they had it. They believed they had the name of Jesus. They said, what we've got, we'll give you. So this guy thought it was talking about money. No, he wasn't talking about money. In verse 6, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You notice they didn't pray a prayer. They didn't get down in front of the beggar man and say, we're going to find out if it's God's will for you to be healed. Let's just find out now. Let's just pray. Oh, no, he still wants you to stay sick for a while. You haven't learned the lesson he's been talking to you about. My God, I've been here my whole life. I've been lying in front of the gate Beautiful my whole life. I go to church where nobody else does. You know what I mean? I'm one of the members of this church. I'm kind of a silent partner, but I'm here. You can count on me. I'm here. Every time the doors open, I'm here. I'm at church. What do you mean I've got to keep suffering? What do you mean I've got to keep? No. Well, you're not ready yet. You've got to get like a fruit. You've got to get ripe. When it's your time. No. They didn't. They turned. They said, what I've got in the name of Jesus, walk. They didn't even say be healed. They didn't curse the sickness. They didn't command life to come into him. They commanded him to do something he couldn't do. The very thing he couldn't do was walk. I mean, you know, the paralyzed guy could have looked up at Peter and said, it was easy for you to say. Walk. Have you seen me? What's the matter with you? Don't you tease me. Are you making fun of me? You know I can't walk. What are you telling me to do to walk? He could have said all of those things. And then Peter, John reached down the hand and took a hold of him and pulled him up. Who of us would have stopped it? Let's pray a prayer for him and see what happens and walk on. We'll see. It takes time. 3 months later, we'll come by again and see. We'll skirt him so we don't have to pray for him again or whatever. Avoidance. Okay? Or we'll come back and say, hold tough, Tiger. Just stay in there, man. Just stay in there. Who would go to the next level and say, get up? That takes courage beyond what most of us have. But that's where the miracle lies. The miracle lies when you run out of your level of courage. The miracle lies when you go beyond what you are and you recognize it's God's power in you, not you, that's doing the healing. And you immediately say, you know what I've got, the name of Jesus, the Kratos, the Uskos, the all of those powers, the dunamis, what I have in me, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up. Now, most of you would not do that. And this is the reason you won't do it. Because you don't believe in his name. Throw your rotten eggs and your tomatoes. Do whatever you want to do. But I'm sure preaching better than you listening. Because you know what? That's the bottom line. Somebody has got to tell you. Somebody has got to tell you. Believing in his name means there is no doubt about what you say. When they said to this man, walk. People standing around might have said, you know, you shouldn't want to say stuff like that. You know, maybe what happens if it doesn't work? What happens if it doesn't work? And you've told this guy to walk, and now you've ruined Jesus' reputation. You ruin Jesus' reputation when you don't say walk. Because that's what his reputation is, the healer. He's as much the healer as he is the Savior. And if you can't trust him for healing, how can you trust him for salvation? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Because the word says so? Well, that's how you know you're healed. If you're praying for somebody to get saved, how do you know they're saved? Because the word says so. Not because they feel saved, because the word says so. Put as much faith in his name for healing as you do for salvation, and you'll begin to see signs and wonders happening in your life. Does it take courage? It's going to take courage. Now, am I going to tell you that it's going to happen every time? No, it's not going to happen every time. I know from personal experience, because I was told one day in a meeting of 3,500 people to minister to the sick, and I said, the Lord told me, let the life group leaders minister to the sick. And I said, all the sick, get out of your seats, stand around the wall, all the life group leaders, stand around the wall. And they got out, and they stood there, and I said, now all the sick, go to them. And the miracles and signs and wonders were happening all over the place, and I wanted to be part of it. I said, it's not fair that they're having all the fun. Look at this. People are getting healed, jumping into wheelchairs. This is crazy. I'm standing up here and I want to be doing that. So I said, bring some of those wheelchairs here. And I grabbed them, pulled them out the wheelchair, and they fell flat on their face in front of 3,500 people. They were, next one, up on his face. So we dragged them all over the place into the walk. So why didn't it work? Because the Holy Spirit told me to do something different that time for those people. And you've got to hear God. You got to hear what he wants to do. He wanted all of those life group leaders to get fired up and pray for the sick hereafter. He said, Henry, you're having enough fun. Now for 1 minute, sit back. Let somebody else get some of the fun. That's just part, this, what I'm saying. This is honest truth. I know it's sad and classify me as a failure or what. But you know what? I did what I could. Got out the boat. Amen. Went for it. Praise the Lord. A lot of miracles did happen. Well, these guys did exactly what Jesus told them to do. And the next chapter, same chapter 3, in verse 16, it says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has given you this complete healing. So it's faith in the name and the power of the name that does it. You don't have healing hands, people. You don't have healing cloths, and it's not healing oil. It's all him doing it. All he's asking you to do is be there. Be part of it. Say the words that he can work with. He will do the power. He will produce the power. He will do the healing. It's all up to him. And when you pray, or when you're praying for somebody, or when you're receiving it, you have to believe at the time you pray that you receive it. Right there, right then. Not sometime in the future. You have to believe that you receive it. Right there, right then. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it's granted to you and you will get it. Believe, trust, that it's granted to you. Whatever you pray for must include healing. Right? Whatever you pray for must include healing. Believe that it's granted to you. So it's not necessary a physical manifestation that occurs immediately. You got to believe it's granted to you. Okay, let me ask you this question. How many of you have a relative in another part of the country, don't live in San Diego, live somewhere else, that you could call them and ask them for $100 and they could send it to you if you needed help? Please wave your hand. Okay. How many have a friend that could do it? If you don't have a relative, you have a friend. Okay. You have somebody. How many has no friends and no relatives who won't send you anything? Raise your hand. I'm going to give you something right now. I'll be your friend. You're in big trouble. You need help. Okay. So here's the thing. I want you to imagine now that you call this person. Let's call him John. John, I really need $100. I'm back against the wall. I've got to have it urgently. Would you help me out? And they said to you, absolutely, yes, I will do it. I'm putting the mail today. You'll have it. Tomorrow morning, you go open up the mail. It's not there. You call John back. John, I thought you sent me the $100. Yeah, I did. I put in the mail yesterday. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I dropped in the mail. Well, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's not here. Where is it? So trust me, it's in the mail. So you wait till 11 o'clock in the morning. You go and call him again. John, I thought I could rely upon you. I thought I could trust you. Where's the $100? He said, there's something wrong with you. I sent it to you. It's on the way. It's gone. Trust me. It's on the way. Well, it's not here. How can I believe you sent it? How can I believe it? It's yours. I gave it to you. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you call John again. John, this is the third time I've prayed. Where is my healing? And God says, I sent it. It's on the way. Do you believe you receive it? It will manifest. You got to believe you receive it. If you believe you received that $100 from John, you wouldn't be bugging him three times the same next day. You'd be waiting back there. You'd be calling the person that you're supposed to pay the visa. Listen, I've got the money. It's on the way. Don't worry. Cool. I need to kick back, watch TV. Because the money's on the way. If you can trust John. If you can trust John, and he said so, the money's on the way. Well, people, how is it possible that we can trust John more than we trust God? When God said, if you pray, I hear you. And when I hear you, you have it. Believe you have it, and you will have it. What's the difference? It's in the mail. Angels bringing it. It's on its way. Don't be bugging him. Where is it? I'd get up and say, thank God. Thank God it's on the way. Hallelujah. Manifestation's on the way. God said it. It's done. Done deal. It's on the way. How do you know it's on the way? God said so. Well, can you trust him? You see where I'm going with this? Are you sure you can trust him? How do you know? Maybe God has got another reason for not sending it to you. That's what's going on. That's why it hasn't arrived. He's working your patience. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Maybe the angel stopped off in Miami. You get suntan. You don't know these angels these days. Good help is hard to find. You never know. But you sure don't want to blame God for it, right? No immediate improvement to your senses doesn't mean the word is false. No immediate improvement doesn't mean your prayer wasn't answered. Let me quit with this. Whatever you ask for, Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. Everything. It would have to include healing. would have to include healing. Therefore, asking for healing is according to God's will. It is according to God's will. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness that we have. That if we ask anything, according to His will, in agreement with His plan, He listens to us and He hears us. And since we positively know that we have it, it's settled, absolute knowledge, that we know that it's granted to us as our present possession. Amen. He hears it, we got it. He hears us, we got it. We hears it. Is it God's will for you to be healed? Yes. So if you ask in prayer, believing that you receive it, it's a done deal. You don't have to question it. You don't have to fight with Him about it. If you ask, it's a done deal. The moment you ask, you have it. The fact that it hasn't manifested is not the problem. Just stand on the fact that you've got it. Amen. Don't be spoken out of it. I'd like the band up, please. One of the most anointed songs we've ever done was done this morning. It's a new song that was introduced. It sings about Jesus, talks about the Lamb. And I want to tell you something that song absolutely gripped my heart during the prayer meeting and brought me to my knees in tears during the worship. I could not stand. The presence of the Lord and the anointing upon that song is so tangible that if you'll open your heart to it, you will receive. If you're sick in your body this morning, during this song, I want you to reach out and receive your healing. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the Savior. And He's the Lamb of God that was slain. Hear it now. It is the will of God for you to be whole, to be healed, and to be fully manifest. Nothing short of that is the will of God, because Jesus has paid the price for you to be completely whole. Now let's stand. So the light's down. And let's begin to worship with all of our heart. Thank you, Ben.